Welcome to Not Sheathed, episode 2, live from... they always said Rocket City Furby. Rocky Mountain Furcon.
I thought we were at Indy Furcon.
Oh, God. Well, there's like four above of the, this weekend.
High above the lovely city of Denver.
Yes.
High above the already very high lovely city of Denver.
I was going to say we're like a mile and 8 stories high.
I'm blaming the altitude for this entire weekend. It's been weird for me. So, I guess introductions then.
I'm Kyle Gold.
I'm Fuzz Wolf.
I'm Buck Turner.
And I'm a tired and loopy Cam Hirasaki. Hello.
when we did Not Sheathed a few months ago, we didn't think there was going to be an episode 2, actually. So this is kind of a nice surprise.
I thought if we did, it would be like the next FWA.
Yeah,
we're going to be there. Something. So
it's like, you made it sound like it was like a one-night stand. Like, we did that first time, and I didn't think we would ever get a chance to do it again. This is so unprecedented.
Wrong podcast, Cam.
Oh, fine.
I think I read an email like this once.
I think I wrote an email like that once.
I never believed this podcast could happen to me.
Thank you. Microphone was so big a phantom.
Fuzz and I decided to get together again and talk a little bit more about how much better the Phantom used to be back when we got into it. And how all you young whippersnappers have missed all the good parts already. Or something like that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm kind of assuming.
Welcome to Grey Muzzlecast.
Yes, welcome to Grey Muzzlecast.
Yes, Kyle officially. And Fuzz get old. I'm the fat one, so I guess I'd be Silent Bob.
Listen to us get old before your eyes, or ears, or whatever. So I think your idea for this podcast was talking about Grey Muzzle geekery.
Was it? Yes, yeah. Okay.
I don't know, that's what you said in the email. I was like, sure, or whatever.
Oh, I don't even remember writing the email, but I've been drinking, so... So, on our last episode, for those that may or may not know, we kind of did Grey Muzzle Cast, where we had talked about our early experiences in the fandom. And so I guess we could talk about how we interacted with furries early on, how we got involved in the community. And, of course, we have two extra people on the show this time, so we can get their perspective on coming into the fandom and... your early experiences.
And they're not quite as gray muzzled, but they've been around a little bit.
I'm legit. I have street cred.
You do.
I have been around a fair number of years.
Yep.
I have the original first printing of Associated Student Bodies on the bad paper.
Wow.
Yeah.
With the newsprint coming off.
Yes.
I got into...
Among other things.
I got into the fandom when they still had these things called web rings.
Oh, God.
Remember when those were a thing?
Wow. Yes.
So why don't you guys tell us real quick how you got into the fandom and sort of, you don't have to name a specific year, but kind of say, like, you know, it was around web ring time.
It was back in the 20th.
It was back in the 20th.
I love that.
Back in the 19s.
Yeah. I my first kind of inkling was he was going by Afril at the time. Some stories there. Back on the Nifty Archive, way back when...
I remember the Nifty Archive.
Yeah, I found the Nifty Archive, and then that transitioned into Miiverse, back when it was still actually being updated, was kind of the gateway drug. That and odd links from Gargoyles fanfic, way back in the day when that was still going on.
It's kind of funny to listen from a technology standpoint to all of these... like, to all of these little things, like Miiverse Archive and the web rings and stuff, and seeing them as the sort of attempts to reach out and connect groups of people without really the tools to do it.
Yeah.
The pre-Google years.
Yes. And they're still...
I use web crawler.
They're still really...
I use the internet phone book. It was printed on yellow pages with a bunch of addresses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lycos.
I used Alta Vista.
Oh, I remember Alta Vista.
I remember getting that tip, like, oh, you've got to go to Alta Vista.
It's amazing. It'll change your life.
Remember when, remember Babelfish before Google Translate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
It's still available.
Yeah.
If you Google it, you can find it.
Actually, nice. there's a website called Translation Party. That uses Babelfish, I believe, where basically it will take your statement and it will continue to translate it back and forth between English and Japanese until it reaches equilibrium.
Oh, God.
And, like, it'll just take, like, your statement and turn it into something really bizarre. But it's just, I think it's just translationparty.com.
That sounds horrifying.
Horrifying, but amazing. Yeah, intriguing. Yes. You guys, what was your main medium of interaction with the fandom at that time?
I did it at mostly on IRC and, like, web forums.
I was actually very much into web pages back in the day.
That seems like a real inefficient way to communicate with people, even before wikis.
I was a lurker for a very long time. So I would read a lot and was very rather shy for the first several years of things, until eventually, very early on in the life of LiveJournal, I scored an invite code and started interacting on LiveJournal. It was sort of my escape from lurkerdom into actual real-time interaction with people.
It's only LiveJournal at the time.
Remember when people thought invite codes were a serious thing?
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm all like, people are still, even today with like Google Plus, people are all like, I have invite codes if you want it. And I just kind of went to plus.google.com and they were like, hey, do you want to sign up?
Well, I only got 8 different emails in my inbox that says, click here to sign up for Google Plus.
Yeah. But so, they make it seem...
Back in the day, it actually mattered.
I remember that.
Without codes.
I got an invite to LiveJournal. I can't even remember who I got it from now.
That was before people realized that there's no real point to limiting access to your product that you want everyone to try.
Yeah.
I think if they're doing a beta and they want to limit the number of people, but they just seem to give out invites like
water.
I finally remember how I was interacting with the fandom, and it's it was
gray muzzles. It takes a long time.
It actually did take me a minute, because I'm trying to remember the course of this. Was
Telegraph?
Like,
smoke signals?
Smoke signaling. Murr.
What's Apache for murr? Wow, the levels of geek on that.
Someone's rolling in their grave right now.
First it was one list, and then it was e-groups, and then it was Yahoo groups, and I think now it's Google groups. But way back when, Two Griffin had a gay fur mailing list, and I don't remember what. And then there was
one. I was on that briefly.
Yeah, and there was the YIF list, which was mostly RP, and that's how I actually started writing, was doing some RPs on the YIF list, which was started by Ripner's, a friend of mine from Florida.
Dude, I remember Ripner.
Ripner's
one of the first furries I met online.
Ripner is kind of e-famous from back in the day. Wow. I certainly remember.
It was a very active list for a while, and eventually shut down, and I wasn't active on it at that point anyway.
So I'm really the only one here who was on Furrymuck for any length of time?
Oh, I've been on Furrymuck for like a decade.
Okay, well, you were, yeah.
Well, I didn't start on Furrymuck.
Only a decade.
I'm like, sorry.
I've been on Furrymuck for 2 decades.
A child of an IRC.
Yeah, but I've been online on Furrymuck for as long as I am now as you were when you were my age. So, ha. Math.
You has it?
No. I really don't. The altitude lets me not do math.
Actually, before we go on, I wanted to say one thing real quick. We're here, as we sort of mentioned, at Rocky Mountain FurCon, and we want to thank, actually, the chair for allowing us the use of this room for the convention and for putting on such a terrific con here. And I don't only say that because they invited me to be the guest of honor this year. But thank you. So thanks to Soren. Hooray.
Yeah, I'm clapping quietly because I have a microphone here.
Yes. I was not. But it's really cool. We are enjoying the time here. And I think when we were at FWA during the first one, we commented on the proliferation of furry cons. And one of the things that I mentioned today, somebody asked me how the fandom's gotten better or worse over the time that I've been in it. And I said one of the things that has amazed me is that back in the day when there was just conference and there was just like a few hundred of us every year that could go to the con, and we would have this sense of community, like, we're the only ones in the world who love this stuff. you would think that that would be diluted a little bit now that there's literally conventions overlapping on the same weekends and whatever else. But I feel I always feel that same sense of community no matter where I go or what conventions I attend. And that's as true here in Denver this year as it was 10 years ago in Los Angeles. Super
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, I remember talking about that. Yeah.
No, 10 years ago in L.A. was were the crappy conferences. 15 years ago in L.A.
There yeah, it was further back.
Yeah.
I never got to go to this.
That was like conference 13 or 12 or something. Any conference past like 9 was
so like CF9 no is good. What Bill always mentioned. Like, yo, CF9, boom. Like,
yeah. That was at the Knott's Berry Farm Hotel.
Was it really?
Yeah. which had its own problems, but the con was a good con. That was the hotel with the crappy restaurant where like they seated us and then didn't come serve us at all for like half an hour.
Is that like,
Kit remembers.
I was going to say, is that like the legendary Denny's stories from Anthrocon where like, Denny's won't serve furries.
Except they totally were.
And furries were going there to make a point, and then they were stuck eating at Denny's.
It's like the joke's on you twice. Like, they weren't really doing it, and now you have to eat Denny's.
I will say that the quality of Denny's varies by location. Like, there are Denny's where the food's actually not bad, and then there are Denny's where the food is actually very bad. So, it's the one by where Anthrocon used to be is not one of the really bad ones, as far as I remember. But
the one on Matilda, not the one by Target, but the one up by Hobie's, that one's okay.
Okay. Yes.
Geography impaired podcast.
So if you're ever wherever that area is,
no, I know exactly which Denny's that is, and I know why he knows it's not that bad.
I have a really strange social life.
I think I chastised you for going to that Denny's.
You texted me the next morning. You went, "Oh, you went to Denny's," yeah. And I'm like, "It was 4 a.m. Where did you want me to go?
Home,
Yoshinoya." I was gonna say, what was that expression for? How was that?
Tanoshikatta. There was a cute guy I was hitting on.
At anyway. Denny's?
Oh. No! At the bar, and he went to Denny's, so I went to Denny's with... Never mind. Oh. Hey. You wouldn't understand.
Denny, stop digging, like honey. Stop digging.
We can cut this, right?
Kit is not doing editing.
No, damn it.
You are at my mercy.
Mercy. Or in the words of Rukus, fap fap. Fap?
That was awesome.
I wish we'd been recording that. You nearly had a spit take. That was fantastic.
You did. I was like, oh my god,
yes.
What's funny is I know what she means exactly.
I do too. Yeah. That was a great panel. Rukus, I was on two panels with Rukus today, and actually we had a really good time on both of them. So
we should get her on a podcast sometime.
Yeah.
You guys have like actually like weirdly good chemistry.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. How long have you been seeing her?
Not relevant to that at all, but just in case...
Is that a microphone in your pocket?
Just in case anybody else is listening, I'll be on another podcast coming out in the next couple weeks with Rukus. No. I'm teasing, KM.
It's okay. Just called Sheathed.
Oh, I wish we had video of KM's expression when Fuzz said that. That was awesome. She could. We've only had one girl on them. She could be the second.
She is a real one, yeah.
as opposed to the fake girl who just kind of sat there in front of the microphone and didn't say anything. I told you that wasn't going to work out.
Can we get back on topic?
Was there a topic? I'm sorry.
We were talking about trying to interact. You mentioned how like early fandom conventions.
You were going somewhere with that.
You were talking about how like like the feeling of community has not been diluted.
Well, and so it was interesting because I mean one of the cool things is like, you know, you and I were on Furry Muck early on. Mm-hmm. These guys were never on Furry Muck, but still we all have the same experience. With the fandom, we all get together at these conventions and stuff. I think what I was trying to get at was that the technology is still, I think, is not quite at the point where it's enabling the community in the same way that just being at a convention does. But we keep getting closer, and it's just generally we keep hopping on whatever new thing comes around, except furries don't use Facebook much.
No.
No. I I have my name registered just in case, but I have logged in all of once.
And what's funny is the furries, I put my Facebook page up, and the furries that contact me on the Facebook page almost invariably are like 14 to 18 in that little age range.
And then you say, you're too young to read my books.
No, then I say nothing. But
yeah, like, but Facebook, in my experience, exists just for family and people you used to know in high school and want to pretend they're still in touch with you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't,
no, like, seriously.
Yeah, I don't feel like pretending I like those people anymore, so I haven't added them.
Although there is a hilarious Twitter feed called Your Friend from High School.
Ooh.
Oh, I need to check that out.
So I'm curious, and sort of trying to steer this back to the Gray Muzzle cast. Because I know of two friends of mine who were friends in high school who kind of knew each other in high school and then drifted apart and then found that they were both furries and like met later on in the fandom. So I'm kind of curious if any of you guys have friends from high school who ended up in the fandom or who you ended up meeting in other circumstances later on.
I had a classmate from college I ran into at Further Confusion, and I thought I saw him in the hall as early. I'm like, but which is weird because like this was out in San Jose and I went to college out in Massachusetts, and I'm like, that can't be him. And then, like, later in the convention, I was, like, in an elevator with it. It was just me and him, and he just sort of turns and looks to me, and he said my name, and I'm just like, oh, my God, it is you. You're selling furry porn to my friends. Like, that was kind of a mind screw. Like, yeah.
He just kind of turned creepy, like, how you doing, Dave?
Hello, Dave. No, I also, I haven't You're had a high school friend. Now.
Oh. Sorry.
Stop that.
Oh, I haven't had a high school friend. I also had actually a couple of college friends, fraternity brothers, of all things. One of whom I actually...
No homo.
Hey, yeah, no homo except for that every time. Never. No. Shit, this is being recorded. No.
Oh, who's editing Mercy now?
Oh, wait. I am editing this, aren't I?
I think I'll opt back into editing this
show. Yeah, right.
Until I say something about Mercy.
But no, I had actually one of them, speaking of furry technology, way back in the day, IFL, the International Furry Locator.
Wow. The Internet Furry Proximity.
Is that? Yeah, okay, I remember right? that.
Yeah, you could put in either your zip code or your GPS coordinates, and that's how I actually found...
Make yourself available to stalkers all over the world.
Just like Twitter.
It was no worse than Pounced.
But I don't suppose many things could be.
Oh. You underestimate the propensity of the internet, but
just in case Pounce is the views of Kyle Gold do not represent not sheet industries.
Is Pounce still around?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they competing with Furry Mate?
I was going to say, there's the new one that I didn't realize was actually you a made real that thing.
Up. I'm not. I just opened up.
There's an ad for it.
There were ads on Fur Affinity for it.
And so furry. Which I still call Yipstar.
Oh, we still call it Yipstar.
We still do.
It's
we call it Yipstar all the time.
Yipstar. I'm sorry to Mom.
It's a gray muzzle thing.
You had to be there.
It'll be one of those. We know how long you've known about our website.
Yipstar, is that the thing that replaced GotFox?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was GotFox.
It was updated like once. And it was like, well, not like soon. And it
three
was like
times,
1996.
Yeah. It had all the Tony Gray Fox's stories.
Is it still online?
GotFox? I don't know. It was still online, like, stupidly into the 2000s.
Yeah.
It was.
Like, they must have registered a domain name for, like, a decade or something.
Probably.
Like that.
It was around for a while. It was, like, last updated in 1998. Like,
You really...
You were saying something else.
Oh, yes. The college fur that...
Well, thank God you remembered.
Yes. back on that particular topic, the college furs that kind of popped back into my life later, one of them... was secretly closet furry back when we were in college.
Wait, the closet furry, or is there more than one?
There are a lot of them.
Okay.
They are functionally indistinguishable, but...
There was a guy that friends of mine used to call closet furry capitalized, so I was just wondering. But
no, they are functionally indistinguishable, but this particular one had a screen name that I recognized from a different, you know... AIM server, and like, oh, it's that one. Yeah. Didn't really talk, but did know he kind of came out more into the fandom later. And then another fraternity brother, found out much later, became of the hobby, as they, as you say.
As we say.
I was going to say, yeah. As they say, but no, it's as you
it
say.
It is as we say, yes.
So say we all. No one?
For the greater,
come on.
For the greater good. I got a couple from that one.
Yeah.
Hot Fuzz outranks.
Battlestar Galactica? No, Hot Fuzz does not outrank Battlestar Galactica.
Apparently it does in this room.
I'm going to get me some pruning shears and we'll settle this.
Like, did you say chill out?
So, anyway. Back at the podcast.
I don't have a story like that. Nobody I know from high school showed up in my life later on, but my mate has a story like that. Funny enough, and I don't know if he's ever told
since
you.
Since he doesn't podcast, why don't you go ahead and tell?
He tells it really, really well and with like great emotion and panicking. But
I can see that too.
Yes. Yeah.
So I won't tell it as well. I'll boil it down. You know, to make a long story short.
Too late.
There is no time. Let me sum up.
There was a guy in his college campus who is like the one oddball geek that wore the kilt with the foxtail everywhere and was gaming with them and everything like that. And he hadn't seen this guy for a good couple of years. And then at a Frozen Oasis party at MFM, Method Fermi, one year, he hears, "Oh, hey, Tyrion." And he turns around and there's this old college roommate and he's in his Chakak character getup. So he's wearing a platinum blonde wig and fake boobs with the kilt. And
oh my gosh.
Tyrion's jaw just hits the floor. And then he looks at me and says, "Oh, hey, Fuzz, how you doing?" And he's like, "Why are you here? How do you know my boyfriend?" And I was like, "Oh, I've known him for a year. He's on the Furry Fiesta Con staff." And Tyrion the whole time is just apoplexic. What?
I know who this is.
He was also drunk because it was a room party and thinking
Frozen
that,
Oasis.
Yeah, he's thinking there's something in this drink. But yeah, it was a real shocker to him.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was hilarious watching him kind of go through like the seven phases. There's like denial, and then there's bargaining. You're not really here. It's something in the drink.
I will do anything to have you not be here right now. Yeah, I don't have a story. My stories are all now like people that I knew in the fandom 15, 20 years ago coming back into the fandom because they like left and came back and they're like, "Oh, it's hey, you're still around." And I did have a funny story about a guy who knew me years and years and years ago. And at a recent convention, he kind of goes to conventions on and off, and we happened to be at the same convention. And he didn't know that I was Kyle. He knew me sort of my previous other identity, just had been hearing about people talking about this author, this Kyle Goldman. And meanwhile, the whole weekend of the convention, he was like, "Oh, hey, I haven't seen you in so long." And he was hanging out with us. And then, like, the very last day, he finally saw my badge, which I'd been wearing the whole convention. And he was like, "Wait a minute, that's you?" It was very entertaining.
Actually, at Anthrocon just this past summer, like a month and a half ago, whatever, I ran into somebody who I had never met in person before, but like who I knew like super well online like 10 years ago. And like he just sort of like stopped me. He's like, "Wait." And he's like, "Yeah," you know, sees my badge name. He's like, "Is that you?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then like I'm looking at his badge and his badge name didn't ring a bell. And then he told me his own name and it still didn't ring a bell. And then I was like, "Oh, right. I used to have online sex with you, like, a lot." Like, a lot. And it was just sort of like, "Oh, hi." I'm just like, and just like, I don't know how to not make this awkward now.
No, it is, and it is weird because it's a weird kind of relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, it's like, it's I don't know, a shared role play, shared experience or something that... I'm assuming that when you say a lot that spanned over a period of months and wasn't just like one really hot night.
No, it went on for like several months, and then
it's someone you get used to seeing every other day.
We had a rapport
and chatting
with,
and then you know they just kind of they fade away, and you talk to other people online, and you kind of like a year later you're like, "Oh, I haven't seen this guy around in a while," and then a couple years later you're like, "Oh, I don't remember him anymore." And But yeah,
then they show up
in a different context. It's not like if you showed up online, you'd have remembered him much more, and it would have been like, oh, hey, you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know where these stories are going. Yeah. It was entertaining. Filled some time,
Yeah, that works. That works for me. On the technology front, I'd say podcasting. A modern technology that we kind of knew right now, and like we could talk about what might happen later in the future. But I mean, I've gotten a lot of emails on Notcast. Like listening to your show is like being in a fur meet, and I live in the middle of nowhere, and there are no other furries, and they feel that connection. And I'm sure you guys have gotten like similar experiences. It's like it's really kind of cool, and it gives us. Those of us who do podcasts, like an additional connection when we meet people in person at a convention. You know, of course, they know a lot about us, and we don't know anything about them.
Right. It's not quite the same as the whole online relationship thing, because it's more like a very one-way online relationship.
I know so much about you. Like, why?
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
It's sort of like a tangential contact to a furry community if you don't have... Tangential.
That's a genital? I did that once as a pun, and it is stuck in my brain.
That's the people that go to the nude beach, Fuzz.
Wow.
What's funny is we had... I went on this sort of LiveJournal rant about social media recently because...
How to be a
poppy fur author. And somebody was like, I think you have to be on social media too, and... So I went on this thing where I was like, I hear this all the time. People are like, well, you know, the people that are really popular are the people who are on social media. And I said, I think nobody says, hey, you should check out Kyle's Twitter feed because it's really cool. Mostly people are like, hey, I read Kyle's books. I want to see what he tweets about. And inevitably they're let down.
This is why my Twitter account is all about drunken antics.
Yeah, which is much more fun than mine, which is about like, hey, I'm at a convention, or hey, I saw a weird sign.
Can't open another bottle of wine. Why am I doing this?
but someone pointed out that the podcasting is actually a form of the social media that has attracted people. And I just thought that the podcasting was something like that, where people who had read our books were like, hey, they write cool books. I'll listen to their podcast. But it turns out there's actually a significant number of people out there who listen to the podcast first.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, I didn't really know your books, but people said it was a cool writing podcast. And then, you know, I started listening to it, and then I started reading the books. So that kind of startled me a little bit.
Yeah, we got people. It's like, hey, it's like, I'm not really a furry, but I've been listening to your show. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like, how did you find us? Why are you listening to us if this isn't your thing?
Well, that's like, you guys on Notcast get letters like, I'm not gay and I'm not furry, but I like your show.
Yeah.
Like that. Which part of it?
I'm not gay and I'm not furry, but there's this other guy who dresses up as a fox and I like to nail him and it's causing stress on my life. What can you tell me, man?
Do you like? Is it the dick jokes or the fox jokes? I mean,
there's a considerable overlap there, too.
Well, yes. and it's funny.
Or the fox dick jokes.
So I looked recently on iTunes, because I was checking for some friends, and all the section of people who listen to this show also listen to this show. Everyone for Notcast is not a furry show. It's really strange. They're all other sexuality podcasts, and I noticed like one of them was familiar with. It was like a bondage podcast that they'd actually written in at some point, but I thought that was weird.
Was it that kind of cool? Knot?
Yeah.
Cast where they tie knots around people.
I don't remember. Kinky Crafter, I think it was the part. It was like how to take ordinary objects, or basically you go to the Home Depot and you spend $5 and you come home and make $500 worth of bondage equipment or something like that. It's a how-to podcast. I haven't actually listened to it. They just wrote in. But yeah, that was on the also listen to.
Is there an emergency fox paddle that you need and you don't have one?
In case a fox break ass.
You have six things around your house that you can use for kinky sex toys.
Yes. Well, that's one of the way, you know, secret tip, if you're writing an article or doing a podcast, that's one way to get people to tune in is a numbered list. Six things you can use around your house. To make sex toys.
Like crack.com? Oh, it's all
No, crack.com is all about
cracked
that.
Cracked is all about info crack.
Compare that to, you can make sex toys with things lying around your house. The six things you can use is much more compelling for some reason.
Oh, that's short. I can do that.
Yeah.
I guess it's just the psyche.
Or it's just, it's a numbered collection. I want to know what's in it.
What's number one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I mean, just podcasts.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, always. But just podcasts in general.
Why am I your friend?
I mean, podcasts in general, I spent a lot of the last mumble years living alone. In your own mountain retreat. No, in my own plains valley bad air retreat. But I didn't have a roommate. I didn't have a lot of local people and friends. I would put on podcasts instead of the TV to not have it just be an empty room, an empty apartment. I think that's something that a lot of people do when they don't go to 10 cons a year and have fur meets every other week in their town.
Posers.
just so you know, before I post this, I am editing the Sad Hulk music.
Thank God you're not actually going to edit it.
Drunk Hulk alone in apartment. Drunk Hulk listen to podcast so not feel so isolated.
Oh, no.
Are you happy, Tea Party? They close borders.
No, we actually had the Drunk Hulk writer on my own podcast. Yeah, the Short Story Geeks. We had the writer behind Drunk Hulk.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is he drunk?
Not all the time.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes he's asleep.
Speaking of drunk, we've got this thing on the table. And
oh, God.
And there's not another good time, I don't think. So I need to describe this thing that is being inflicted upon us.
Yes, this is...
I almost want to save my trying this for my podcast. And he's not here now.
Oh, you're here, and you've got a mic in front of your face, and you've got this bottle here, so...
I really don't want to try this.
You're going to be surprised by it.
I don't think it might make me throw up.
Finish describing it.
So we've got this lovely bottle from the Alaska Distillery, handcrafted vodka. It's one of those modern things, the flavored vodkas, the smoked salmon vodka.
I really think this might make me sick.
So could you get the sour cream flavored vodka to go with it?
Only with the
Please pour me like a tiny bit.
No, we will have a sample. We've got.
Oh God, that's enough.
An otter. we've got an otter and a feline on the show. So we like.
Oh, it smells so gross. It smells worse when it's in a cup because you're not getting the bottleneck.
The provider needs to know what he's
been slinging. This is horrible. Don't make me drink this.
You have to.
There's people watching.
That's the point.
This is going to be horrible.
Everybody in the audience, close your eyes while KM drinks the vodka.
Are you taking photos of us doing this?
Not really.
No.
Oh my God. Like, this looks like completely unpleasant. I really do not want to drink this.
Drink it.
Okay.
Buck's going to drink it.
Wow, that's not bad.
I told you.
No.
I told you.
That's actually not bad.
It's pretty good.
That's actually not bad. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's
did
not
I
bad. Not,
did I not say?
I was expecting it to be awful.
Did I not say?
It's not
I
bad.
Said you are going to be surprised.
Yeah, it is actually quite pleasant. I mean... We just kind of poured a little bit of straight vodka, which is quite overpowering on its own.
This would be good in a Bloody Mary.
It would be a very good Bloody Mary.
Ooh,
yeah. I think
smoked salmon and tomato, yeah.
Yeah, it's what black it's pepper. For.
Sure.
There are other things, a few other things. Okay. But yeah, so I wanted to get that on record.
Oh, and, God, wow. Yeah. By the way, for people who aren't familiar, like, since we're in Denver, alcohol becomes, like, super-duper double space future alcohol because of the elevation. Like,
you just slurred the word elevation.
Sorry, my mouth still tastes like salmon. Like, I don't know what you want from me.
You're an otter. That should be, like, heaven for you.
It is two of my favorite things, seafood and alcohol.
It is quite amazing.
Wow, the audience seems to have enjoyed much more of that than I expected.
How many thumbs up do we get for the... All right.
We have all, and one maybe. Yeah.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Not bad.
The smoked salmon is a hit.
I can taste the smoke.
I can taste the salmon.
Yeah, the salmon is definitely there.
Oh, God. Like, I was seriously like, there's a non-zero chance that I will throw up if I drink this. I really thought it might. But no, it's not bad.
It's smoked drama salmon. Queen. Smoked salmon is not a bad thing.
The Thursday before the first furry fiesta, I was at an apartment party in Addison, and I did a shot of the bacon vodka that Guardian had made.
Gosh.
That was foul. That almost did make me
throw. Wow, I can tell you're getting drunk because your Boston's coming out.
It was a third of a shot of vodka.
I was at a house party in Addison. I drank something that was foul.
No, it's not really.
And I remember
my new coworker is
No. It's just a little bit out. Just a little bit out.
I remember exactly what I said because as soon as I blurted it out, Sarah wrote it on the mirror. But I was just like, oh, I'm like, it's like I just took a shot of breakfast. Bad night.
Wow.
Bad night.
I think
Gray Muzzle cast.
Interlude finished. Let's get back to
Gray Muzzles cast. Can't hold their liquor. Or they can hold it too well.
Unless we're in Denver.
Well, yeah. I think we can still hold our liquor in Denver.
Yes.
Last night was at least a getting level before counting.
But there was no retrospect.
No. Yeah. And so, yeah.
So we're good.
Gray Muzzles.
So have you guys like stepped up or stepped down the partying since coming into the fandom? Oh, lo, these many years ago.
Up.
I don't know. I think it's
because I know a lot of people kind of dial it back as they...
I think for me, it's been less frequent but more intense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really...
Once upon a time, I was in a fraternity in an all-male college in the middle of cornfields in Indiana. I drank a lot when I was there. Because you could either stare at the walls...
Or stare at the walls drunk.
Or you could get drunk and stare at the walls, and the walls were a lot more interesting and had more things to say after a bottle of vodka than they did before the bottle of vodka. So, yeah, I think
I... Did you go with vodka or Everclear?
Yes. I used to start with Everclear screwdriver and then switch to something non-alcoholic, like a screwdriver or... It's like Kool-Aid, you know. It just keeps you hydrated.
That was me living in Japan, where nights where I didn't drink, I would just kill a six-pack of Chuhai.
Well, since we appear to be at the point of the podcast where we ramble on about nothing related to the ostensible topic...
Wait, podcast?
Why don't we...
Do we have some audience
I was going to ask if we had any questions from the audience...
We do have an audience,
but
that we
KM haven't. Appeared to have something else to say.
You were asking if I had scaled it back or toned up the party.
You said stepped it up.
Yeah. But, I mean, just to clarify, like, in college, it was one of the things, like, okay, like, yeah, like, you drink a bit. And like I said, it was, like, more frequent. Now it's, like, there are some people I only see a couple of times a year. So it's, like, yeah, like, I will certainly push that to the limit.
Yeah.
Like, at Anthrocon, you know, me and Buck managed to hit after party.
Wait.
Yes.
after, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget the party at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
The pre-party?
No, the party, and then after party.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's okay. The hallmark of a good night.
So I've never really partied, and you don't really drink.
No.
So.
That's why I was asking these guys.
Yeah, yeah.
An extra perspective. Do you guys in the audience have questions about... Anything related
really?
To Gray Muzzle stuff or anything we've talked about? Or
what it's like
salmon
to be old.
Vodka or... Yep.
Well, I guess I'm curious as to how your personas may have changed since you've been in the fandom. Partially because, I mean, I'm me, you know, same age and everything, and kind of relationship, there's not a lot of role-playing there, but I'm just wondering if you guys have changed how your character is as you've aged.
So Skip was asking how our personas have changed since we've come into the fandom. I can start.
Sure, we can go around.
Yeah, mine, way back when, I think I'm claiming the figure to be 20 years now, I was a wolf to start, and that lasted about a year and a half. And then I was a fox, and I've been a fox ever since. And I've played other characters and other kinds of species, but it always ends up coming back to canids and usually coming back to foxes. For me, it was just... something that felt right, and it's since then it's never really not felt right.
I've always been a wolf, so you could either say boring or I call it stable. We'll hear from Kay Hirasaki shortly. But no, I mean, I had one identity.
Okay, former Therianthrope.
I was actually going to go into that. I wasn't aware of community, and I had a different name, but I was still a wolf. And then, you know, I got to the point where that wasn't for me, and I found the furry community. I thought, hey, these guys are more sane.
Which is, I feel real out of that. But yeah, and then I made this Fuzzwolf character.
I'll defend the furry community in terms of sanity against some of the other groups out there.
Yeah.
Rukus was talking at length about the anime community and how.
Oh, God. I've been to anime conventions.
I would love to hear some of her stories from an artist perspective of being at an anime con and dealing with that. But
so anyway, the two boring people are done.
Okay. I actually am pretty stable as far as that goes myself. I've somewhat evolved from a lion to more of a mountain lion because I'm solitary and my general state of being is to hate people.
Is that like evolving from a Magikarp into a Gyarados?
Thank you for knowing more of the terminology than I did, but making the same joke.
I'm like, no. I was never.
Can you do Hyper Beam now? Sorry.
Can you do Tracy Jordan talking drunk about Pokemon? Drunk. Because that's hilarious.
No. I lived in Japan. No, I was not Weeaboo.
Or when we were, that wasn't the name for them yet.
that is true.
Back in the day, we said Weaponese.
So you've always been feline.
I've always been feline.
The mane.
Yeah, I kind of the mane got shaved down a bit, a little bit of extra definition around the muzzle, and
you do look angry in your badge.
I do.
You look annoyed at people.
That's not entirely an accident.
Send me stories, goddammit.
Yeah, I'm thinking it looks like he's just received a story like. Not again.
Like, I edit a book.
I look very pleased with myself in my badge.
Yeah.
That's because I'm a fox.
Yeah, foxes are smug.
And we are very pleased with ourselves.
My badges are NA right now. But I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt.
Yes, you are. Yes, you're wearing an awesome Star Wars shirt. Although my question about that shirt has always been, if they could forecast it...
Why didn't they leave?
Don't even.
No, I like there's the alternative is the arrivals board where all of the Alderaan flights say sea attendant.
Yes, Kim Hirasaki's shirt is the 5-day forecast for Alderaan, and if you need more than that explained, then I'm sorry, go look it up online.
Monday 72 degrees, partly cloudy. Tuesday 70 degrees and sunny. Wednesday 15,000 degrees and concussion shockwave. Thursday and Friday are blank.
What about the ages?
Well, KM hasn't.
So
KM
when
hasn't
I
explained his checkered past.
When yet. I
his checkered future and present.
So when I started, KM Hirasaki was a river otter with glasses and a Japanese hachimaki, and now he's a river otter with glasses and a translucent green poker visor. And in between, I've met like three other animals.
So, in all seriousness, though, you started with an otter and you tried different things and then came back to otter?
No.
It was just a phase. He was experimenting.
You have some. There are
This is something that actually, like, I think Kyle and I might talk about actually, like, on our own podcast eventually.
Oh, so we don't want to spoil it for here.
Yeah, but.
We want to save it for the good podcast. No. Is that what you're saying?
You.
Not the rambling, half-drunk, mile-high cast.
Give us the condensed version.
Okay, I can say this, and this actually feeds into Skip's other question. It's actually, me and Kyle were talking about this a few years ago, where it was interesting that my fursona was older than me, and his fursona was younger than him.
Yeah, I will say, in Skip's follow-up question was the age of the fursonas, and I will say that I don't have a defined age for Kyle, but that the age that is listed on my Fur Affinity user page has not been updated since I first put it up there and was not correct then.
I would say my fursona has always been older, as I personally suffer from premature old man syndrome. If I had a lawn, I would tell you to get off it. But, it hasn't necessarily moved, as I don't consider my own age as a moving thing, as a moving target. I got carded and asked how old I was. And I had to think. Like, not just like for a little bit, for a while.
They don't like that because that's like kind of a sign that you're drunk.
Well,
they shouldn't be serving you anymore.
Well, that's the sign that you have a fake ID. And if you have ever seen me in real life, the idea of me getting carded in the first place and then trying to pass off a fake ID to buy alcohol for myself is somewhat ridiculous. So
yeah, that was a really weird restaurant. I'd never, because Tyrion and I got asked too, and it's like, I've been carded at restaurants. So I've never been asked what my age was immediately while she's holding my driver's license.
Like, old enough to order a drink, now get me one.
Get back in the kitchen.
So how about you, Fuzz? Persona, older or younger or same?
I'm guessing the same, just because I've never specified it. So, you know, he doesn't even have a definable body type, really. He's a really twinky character in some pictures, any more swimmer's build in other pictures. So I guess his age is his mood.
Sometimes
and,
he looks like
Tom
Baker.
Really, I mean, I don't really play my persona as a character anywhere. I kind of chat with people online, but then that's me.
Yeah,
I don't have a role play anywhere with him. So it's tough to assign an age, really.
Yeah.
If you're talking to Fuzz online, you're talking to me, not a character or a different personality.
Right.
So it's much the same.
I did annoy somebody who was trying to do was it the Wikifur page? Somebody was trying to put some personal information about me on a page, and they were like, tell me all the things that aren't listed on your FA page. And I was basically like, no, nobody needs to know where I live. Nobody needs to know my real age. Nobody needs to know whatever other things he wanted to know. And then he got offended and was like, you're not being very helpful. I'm like, well, no. If I wanted people to know that information, it would be out on my page. So the person in the red cap whose name I unfortunately do not know. What is
Gio. That's Gio.
Gio?
That's
Gio with a G? That's all right. We'll just repeat the question. Speak. Question us.
Okay. I was kind of curious as far as I've heard you debated a few times in podcasts in the past, but what exactly is the gray muzzle age?
According to MFF,
what is the gray muzzle age cutoff? That is the question.
Yeah, that depends on where you're at.
According to MFF, it's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MFF, which is not to like judge in one way or another, but MFF always feels to me like one of the sort of older run cons.
Yeah, and it's like the one in the Anthrocon comic this year was 35. It's like, have you seen how old some of the people who hang out at Anthrocon are? Yeah, Gray Muzzle's not 35. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow, that was like queen bitch mode.
Yes.
I had the wrist and everything.
It was. You people at home missed the little wrist flick and the little thumb forefinger circle. The
flame on.
Okay, not that he was doing.
Quite frankly, I think gray muzzle is less a function of your actual physical age than a function of the number of years you've been active in the furry community.
Yeah, what did we talk? Somebody asked that.
Did we talk about that?
We
on
talk
the last
about it on
one?
The first one.
Yeah,
I mean, there's gray muzzle as an age is,
and I think we came up with something very much like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like if you've been in the community long enough to remember when things used to be different, then you're a gray muzzle.
Yeah, like vastly different.
Do you have a lawn to tell people to get off of?
Yeah, but there's some people who are just like that.
What's,
yeah.
But it's kind of funny because it's like I would be like 22 and I'd be like, oh, these damn kids would be talking about 19-year-olds. So I've always been like this.
Well,
yeah.
Like I said,
I've always been an old man.
I have premature old man syndrome.
Right.
I've been a gray muzzle since I was about 17.
So all of us have graduated college at this point and remembered the sensation of going back to a college campus like 2 years after graduation and saying,
it's like,
wow, the freshmen are so much younger than they were when I joined.
It's the Avenue Q song.
Yeah.
I wish I could go back to college.
Yeah. No.
But the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They're
the
so
little,
young.
Little children.
Last week on Twitter, somebody pointed me to a tweet where somebody said...
Last week on Twitter.
No, and like, this person actually said, like, without irony, they were like, oh, it's like, now that I'm 24, like, I feel such an age disconnect between, the 18-year-old furries on Twitter. And I just wanted to respond with, ha, 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 ha. Like, oh, like, don't even.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm 24, these 18-year-olds are so young, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
No.
Hashtag bitch, please.
You're in your mid-20s. It's called welcome to actually being a grown-up, unlike when you turn 18 and people tell you you're a grown-up. Spoiler, you're not.
Yeah. What else? What else do people want to know?
Like, oh, what's it like to be old? Let me tell you about my knee.
Oh, God, my knee? It's been acting up all day.
You do. We get to that point, and because you
make
fun
of that gay cast.
Yeah,
Icy Hot is your friend.
You get to that point where, you know how you kids always make fun of the people that like, oh, what do you guys talk about all day? Oh, you just talk about your various medical ailments and stuff. It happens without you realizing that it's happening.
Yeah.
Because you hit a certain age, and then
like
Jake Johansson says, you know, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I would hurt my ankle. People would be like, how'd you sprain your ankle? And I'd be like, oh, I was like playing basketball and I landed on it wrong. Now it's sprained. And He's like, then I turned 40, and I'll just like wake up and step out of bed, and my ankle will be fucked up. People are like, how did you hurt your ankle? And I'll be like, I don't know.
Like, I'm old, it hurts.
And then you complain to people about it.
Me.
And I'm like, Cam, you know what? My ankle's
no, yeah,
hurt.
You were telling me all about it. No, and like, all right, at my house, like, me and my housemates, like, we call Tums gray muscle candy. Like, I knew that I had hit like a certain age where I was just like, ooh, like they have like this really nice tasting flavor of Tums. Like here, like next time you know, try them, they taste really good. Like getting excited about the flavor of Tums is just like, oh my god, like I've arrived. Like, oh no.
This podcast not sponsored by Tums.
And remember, Tums spelled backwards is smut, and that's why we're here.
Yes.
Indeed. Yes, somebody had a question.
I just wanted to say, people who have kids do the same thing, and they just don't notice, and the conversation transition over.
Yeah.
I think after a certain point, it goes like back a bit, but that's already past the ailment point.
The comment is people with kids do the same thing. I'm trying to remember what I was comparing it to.
I compared parenthood to a mental illness that lasts between 16 and 24 years.
No, but there was trying to have a conversation with – oh, it's us watching a football game.
Yeah.
Like having a conversation with us trying to watch a football game is like trying to have a conversation with a parent of a 2 to 5-year-old kid, because we'll be talking and like, hey, so – you know, there's new Tums with the new flavors
see the replay.
And it'll just like, oh, and the person who doesn't care about football will be like, what? And we're like, shh. Oh no, oh my god. And they're like, what? And they'll turn around and to them it's like those posters for illiteracy where they just have the jumble of symbols and they're like, this is what all words look like when you cannot read. And I just imagine them seeing something like that on the football screen. It's just like guys in different color uniforms running around and occasionally there's a ball.
So like last night, it was the hotel bar. It was Buck, Fuzz, and November. And we're sitting there and we're watching football. And like,
of course.
Fuzz is like, I'm at a FurryCon drinking with 3 other gay guys, and they're all talking about football. Like, what the hell is going on?
I think Buck's football rant was highly amusing because it was very much like you could walk into any sports bar and just hear this football rant and like, but we're at a FurryCon.
Yeah,
how amusing is that?
That's the thing. The thing about me and football is that We did not grow up together because I lived in Cincinnati, and a few of you out there are going, I'm so sorry.
They had football in Cincinnati briefly in the 80s.
No.
That's your consolation prize.
They had a season, and the next season they went 3-10.
At least it's not Cleveland, and that's not Detroit.
You technically can't go 3-10.
They managed
I mean, they play 14 games at least. So
it was the Bengals.
Well,
they can go 3-10 if they want.
Said fuck it for the last one.
Pretty much.
How did he do a spoken word version of a rap song? He found a way.
Yeah, it was. Let's just say it was Cincinnati football, and so it took me a long
time. Scars still not healed properly.
The scars still are there, but I can kind of get over it in some places. I mean, I moved to Dallas, across the street from the Dallas Cowboys corporate.
Yeah, if you
in the words of a Lonely Island, not better.
I will tell you what I said when you first brought up the fact that you now live near the Dallas Cowboys headquarters, which is I used to live down the street from the Scientology office, and I did not become a Scientologist. But we will take one more brief question if anyone has one, and then we're going to have to wrap this up. Nope, no questions.
Where did the salmon vodka go?
We want to.
Okay. I was like, I'm scared that has gone misplaced.
It will do bad things.
Well, we want to thank our audience of many. Actually, you guys have been awesome.
Yes.
Thank you for laughing and clapping and generally putting up with us and asking questions.
And drinking weird
vodka. Thank you again to Soren especially and to the staff of the Rocky Mountain FurCon who have been very gracious and helpful. And y'all should all make it out here to Denver next year for it. It will again be in August in the beautiful hotel. Second week of August in the beautiful DoubleTree Hotel on
Quebec
Street. Anything else? This will go out after the weekend. So. And... parting words? You, go.
Yeah, water. I'm glad I didn't need Tums after the salmon vodka.
What is the new flavor of Tums that was so awesome?
Oh, is it the mixed berry? It's really good.
But most hated football moment from your childhood?
When you lived in Cincinnati.
I lived in Cincinnati. They had one season, and they basically destroyed their receiver on the third play of the game, and then just... football went away and was bad for about 25 years.
I was going to say, I had a similar experience with Tom Brady, except it was only for a season.
No, it was a long time.
Fuzz, favorite furry website that no longer exists?
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that.
You can't do that. That's not fair.
No, actually, I was going to mention in this website earlier when we were talking about websites, but there was a story site called Furry Pleasures that was pretty good. And that's where one of the first
places... Oh, I remember that.
It's one of the first places I read adult furry fiction. And
they had a lot of scout stories. Like the Water Wing
stories.
Yes. Yeah, Scout McIntyre.
Yes.
Yes.
And later on, it was like, I was like, this is so awesome. I got my own little section on it, and I thought that was like a major
accomplishment. Oh, no, I had one, too.
At the time.
Boom.
Boom. So, yeah, and I think the main Swedish site stopped existing, and then there was an American Mirror for a while, and I don't know if the American Mirror is still there or not. It wasn't being updated or anything, but it might still be out there somewhere. But.
And for me, I'll ask myself. Do you have a question to ask? Because if not, I have one to ask myself.
No, if you got a plan, because I don't.
I was going to say, strangest species of character you've ever played, and I will say futuristic robot dog.
Your tour days.
That's not as strange as a futuristic robot dog.
We're going to have a Doctor Who roleplay later.
K-9. And by we, you mean you.
Oh, dear.
Affirmative.
Well, thank you all for joining us for Not She... Two, which I'm not sure had a topic really, but it was a lot of fun at least.
It was a good ramble.
I'm Kyle Gold.
I'm Fuzz Wolf.
I'm Buck Turner.
And I guess I'm Cam Harasaki for the moment.
And good night.
And big balls.